He just said, like, yeah, I have such a close relationship, actually probably closer than some of his own kids, but I would never take advantage of that very personal grandfatherly relationship.
Never use his name.
I would never use his name to tell you how close we were so that you can trust me more. But in saying that, do you trust me more? Like.
Hello, I'm Ryan Fisher, joined by
Kara Burrell.
And this is the Timmy Did What podcast. We're going to dive into responses from a video that was recently posted about an interview that Tim did, in which he covers a whole range of subjects, his relationship with Elder Ballard, his fidelity to the church, on this very interesting rant. So stretch, get limber, because we're going to play some mental gymnastics here with these arguments, and it's going to be fun.
Are you saying that there's some things that Timmy did?
Yeah, he did some what's today.
Timmy did what?
What?
All right, let's get into it.
All right. Okay, Elder Ballard Connection. Tim talked about this in a recent interview he did online just within the last week, reiterating his relationship with Elder Ballard. This is an important story to him. He makes a lot of claims about his relationship, and these are pretty bold claims, especially after the church denounced him, issued a public statement back in September, denouncing him as somebody that took advantage of his relationship with Elder Ballard. And so he is still beating the drum that Elder Ballard and him were very close, good buddies, good friends. And Catherine even just reiterated 2 days ago in an interview that Elder Ballard had no knowledge of that statement, no knowledge of the church's statement. And we're going to get to what she says also. So
they all got. I was very close friends with President M. Russell Ballard, very close. And this is a sensitive topic, but I'm going to go here with you right now. Like, so close, we took trips together. I was in his house. He would call me. I saw him probably once or twice a month. And I'll ask this guy, and I, Coop, you'll be talking a little later. How close a relationship did I have with M. Russell Ballard?
I think as close as his own kids, maybe even closer.
That's the truth, okay? So these women all knew that, and so a convenient lie, because they want to act like I spiritually manipulated them, is they got together and they said, hey, let's all say that Tim used Elder Ballard's name to get us to do this.
So he says that he is very close to Elder Ballard, good friends. He starts off by claiming that he was besties with Elder Ballard, and that's true. I can attest to that. Everything he's saying is true. But then he immediately goes into berating the women and saying that he did not, claiming that he did not use Elder Ballard to spiritually manipulate him, those women. Well, he just used Elder Ballard to build himself up, and then claims he doesn't use Elder Ballard to build himself up. Here, yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's like, extremely transparent.
He's so transparent. Okay, but that's just, I mean, you decide for himself, yeah, for yourself whether that was self-aggrandizement with Elder Ballard's name or not.
Yeah, and when he says that's a convenient lie for them to say, because they knew my relationship with Elder Ballard was so close, that's just convenient for them to say I spiritually manipulated them. I think Tim is just very familiar with convenient lies, and he's like, it actually was a pretty convenient lie to spiritually manipulate them by building myself up as close besties with Elder Ballard to sanction X, Y, and Z that I want to do with these women. He's very familiar with convenient lies. He knows them more than anything. And so often a narcissist's accusations are admissions. So I think that's an admission of using a convenient lie without him realizing how transparent he sounds.
And this video is from last week. The church denounced him in their public statement 10 months ago. And he is still using Elder Ballard to prop up his own righteousness. I mean, what would you call this? Like credibility, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why he goes in and he says, and that's why it was so shocking and it was so hurtful that some rogue person released this to a tabloid when I was so close with him, not taking any accountability of what would fracture that relationship, mm-hmm, not taking responsibility of what he did It just is somebody rogue within the LDS church did something, and it's so hurtful. That should have never been done or said about me. But me and Elder Ballard are still super, super close. He just happened to die right around the time that he might need to get like deposed or something for a trial. Go on.
All right. Let's continue.
I know he's on the other side. To believe that, you know, okay, first of all, how hard was it, Matt, to get them to do this? Did we have to convince them?
No, they volunteered.
They'd show up to us. I didn't have to convince anyone. And what a stupid lie anyway. And you got to be a total idiot to believe that, you know, if their story is true. The church put a statement out saying that I betrayed my friendship with Elder Ballard. It's the most offensive thing that's happened. I say the church, I don't know what that means. People inside. They came out and said that I betrayed my friendship with Elder Ballard and used his name. And the only solace I have is that I know he's on the other side and knows the truth.
Well, the most offensive thing was that
that's what hit me.
That the church claims that he used Elder Ballard's name without authorization. What was the most offensive thing about the lawsuits to you?
You know, if I was an innocent man and I was accused of the thing Tim Ballard would be, Tim, you're accused of being a sex trafficker. You're accused of literally trafficking women and raping them. You're accused of being a rapist who traffics women to other countries to practice the couple's ruse on them, to spiritually manipulate them into having sex with them while they are traumatized and going through panic attacks. That's the most offensive thing. If Tim was innocent, to dedicate your life to ending sex trafficking and then be accused of being a sex trafficker, that should be extremely offensive to your core character. But no, his core character is found in his allegiance. That speaks volumes, allegiance to his friendship with Elder Ballard. So of course, that's the most offensive thing, is his position next to Elder Ballard. And it's no coincidence that he repeats that over and over again, that's the most offensive thing when, Tim, you are being called a rapist in these things. That's the most heinous thing you can do to another person, that you fight your life's mission apparently against. And that's what you're accused of in the lawsuit with evidence. And yet that is what he says is the most offensive thing, is the breakdown of his relationship with Elder Ballard. How is that not? There's about 20 different things in this video that we pulled from Last Dispensation, and that is one of them. That unbelievable that he would say something like that.
Never, ever did I talk specifics with him about how we do operations. I wouldn't want him to even know that, right? Because I've never even had a conversation with him about it. He never authorized it, and I never said he authorized it. So the fact that someone representing the church would say something that is not true and then disseminate it to Vice Magazine and Deseret and, you know, other places that they own, networks, that's really bad.
That is bad.
That's really, really, really bad.
I just want to pause and say, I've never seen a more drunk looking person in my life. If you were like on the street corner out of a bar and somebody was ranting about their ex-wife or like somebody who betrayed them and just all of the things, and their ego is the only thing talking through the alcohol, and he's like, it's bad, it's really, really bad. And like, I've read the transcript of this, and just going from his points to points to points, he's not the normal Tim that's like actually talking in an interview that at least is a little more coherent. Like, he's going from like, I was betrayed by this person and they said it is, and this person is bullshit and is really, really bad. Like, he sounds like obviously like intoxicated to me, at least in this
speech. You know, rally Tim, where he gets in front of his crowd and base, is not this guy.
Mm-mm.
He's very well spoken most of the time, very passionate, but he's resorting to insults, personal attacks and insults and impressions of the women and everybody that he doesn't like, demeaning impressions. So
that somebody who is in a more coherent, like non-intoxicated state of mind would have better logic and rationale to hold back a little bit more. But
you would think so.
But so
you would hope so.
I know that they don't know that. all they know is that a handful of women said that. Of course they did. It's, if you think about it, it's the most convenient lie to try to make me look bad. And I will never confess something. And I've talked, I have this great bishop, and I said, Bishop, I'm not going to confess something I didn't do. I will never do it. I'll go to my grave first. Because there's no way there's leadership, I guarantee it, for my life on. In fact, I know for a fact, because I've talked to some, who knows that that was wrong.
Couple other things I like pointing out, the liars of the lies. The separate part of this interview, if you notice how he just said that I have this bishop that is like, you know, never confessed anything you didn't do. And in a separate part, he's also said, like, I've gone to my bishop and said, should I just like make this go away? Should I just confess? Should I just do it? Like, and that he tells kind of two different stories. It's like, did you say you were never going to confess and you'll never admit to something? Or do you also sometimes say, I'll just confess? So he plays it both ways. And then if you notice, like, what he just said here.
Because there's no way there's leadership, I guarantee it, for my life on. In fact, I know for a fact, because I've talked to some, who knows that that was wrong.
Again, he's so transparent, and you can kind of see through the lies. If you've talked to somebody and you have a confirmation that something is true, you don't start off the sentence personally by saying, I would bet my life on such and such. Actually, I've talked to people and they've confirmed it. You just go straight to, I've talked to people and they've confirmed it. You don't start with, I bet my life on such and such. So it's this posturing and this transparency that it's very easy to see through for me, where he's so hurt and scorned by this offense of the church denouncing him that he'll say anything like, I've talked to people and everybody within the church said this was wrong. This was a rogue decision. This did not come from Elder Ballard. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to people and that's what the church actually does regret? Or is you are just inserting your wishes into what you wish the church would have done differently? Like, would you bet your life on it that there are people within the church who want to take it back? Or have you actually talked to people? Because he's saying both here.
Even if I had done it, to go out to the public, they did it, I think, because the headline would have been Elder Ballard accused of pimping out women or whatever.
Right.
So instead, you know, I guess better than a whole, you know, that one man perished and his family.
Yeah.
Than a whole nation, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that's the excuse.
So what is he talking about there? He's saying that the headline would have been that Elder Ballard was pimping out kids?
His point is that before the Vice News article came out, and exposing like the women in the lawsuit and all the things Tim is alleged to have done, if the church didn't come out preemptively and denounce it, the headline when Vice kind of revealed everything is that Elder Ballard was in connection with this. So the church needed to preemptively release that statement. So he's like, okay, I guess it's better for one man to be killed and then a whole family. Woman, or it's better for one man to perish than a whole nation.
Dwindle and perish in unbelief.
Yeah, that kind of Book of Mormon scripture. Yeah. So he's like, okay, I'm like the sacrificial lamb of this whole situation.
So he's saying that the Vice News article was influenced by the church who wanted Tim to be the fall guy for Tim's questionable behavior and not Elder Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
I get that's logic. Man, I honestly, like, I feel sorry for Tim here. I feel sorry. He's obviously very hurt, very angry. This angry, raging rant. Man, he was a good friend of mine, and it's sad. I'm just really sad at where he's ended up.
Kind of like losing touch with somebody after high school. And then I always have to go back to the high school reunion analogy every time. Be like, oh man, you really let yourself go into brothels to go rape women. I'm pulling back your empathy to make fun of what a piece of shit he is. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel both emotions. This is going to be hard to get through. Okay, let's keep going, I guess.
But of all the offenses, that's the one that's hurt the most. I did not say that. I've never come close to saying that. And that anyone inside of my church that I love and I still believe in, and I still go with my family and I still participate, you know, and I still defend, everybody knows that was wrong.
Yeah.
There's no one that would say, well, oh, that was the right thing. That's what Jesus would do. He'd go put an article out in the Jerusalem Times and say, hey, guess what? I found someone who's unworthy, or who, what they say, I committed an immoral act.
Huh, what would Jesus do? I mean, Jesus did call out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy of the Jews, the elevating one principle over another. That, like, in the scripture that comes to mind is when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, when he says that you pay tribute in tithes of mint and ants and all these things, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, like charity and loving your neighbor as yourself, and you do all these expressions, these outward expressions of virtue, but in your hearts, are you actually a virtuous person? You know, Jesus didn't mix words. He called out hypocrisy of those institutions, and I think it's probably a scripture that would be more condemning of Tim's actions than actually supportive of his actions.
Yeah, because he's just trying to look at the, even if I was guilty of an immoral act or adultery or something, he's immediately goes to the, just remember, Jesus would have grace for me even if. But yeah, you're right on there about the hypocrisy of what you proclaim to be in the world versus who, you know, the whole your lips are close to me, but your hearts are far from me kind of scriptures, and the kind of scriptures about how you will know a true prophet from a fake one and what their fruits are. There are more women who allege that, Tim, you yourself are a sex trafficker than have ever saved more, like the number of kids. There are more people alleging that you are a fraud than you are a savior. And that is a fruit that this man, who's in so many ways thinks of himself as a modern Mormon prophet, and to been set apart by that, by the leadership of the church, like the fruits of, you know, who proclaims to speak for God should speak for themselves. Those are the things, like you mentioned too, what Jesus would have taught. So this is not working to his favor.
And I mean, let's point out what he's claiming he was so wronged over is that the church publicly denounced him, publicly said that he did something immoral and wrong. And that's what's so offensive in this whole video. Who is he talking about? Does he publicly denounces, claims that by name, Sasha, by name, the lawyers, Rasmussen and Mortensen, and also by name, some of the other women, he claims in this video that they are being immoral, liars, horrible people out to ruin him.
He's not even acting in accordance with what he expects of himself to be treated with the church. He's calling people out. He's the Jerusalem Times printing salacious things now about these women. Yeah, he's not even acting as Christ-like as he would expect the church to act towards him. So he's a walking, talking hypocrite.
Yeah.
Just in like replaying this video, you can see contradictions in what he says and just full-blown hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Wow.
When certain institutions or people or media come out and say things that they know they don't know, but they're going to do it anyway, and kids get hurt, I just hope that I get to be a fly on the wall on the other side, and the video gets to be played, and they get to see all the kids who were never rescued because they chose to try to protect their image, or they've chose money, or they chose something else and showed a complete lack of integrity. And they did it because that's all this is doing is hurting kids. Now, I believe in God. I believe that God has a way to, I believe in commensurate kind of blessing, you know, so this could all turn net positive, and that's my hope, you know. You know, I've posted it. It's all over the Mexican news that we took down this trafficking ring, but I know how much bigger it was. and I know all those other kids are now gone. They'll be traded to other cartels. They'll be passed off. And that's all thanks to Sasha for revealing things and betraying not only me. The Mexicans want to put them under investigation. I've heard talks of it several times for obstructing justice. Because they welcome them into the country to help us rescue their kids. And then they do this. I truly thought more people would.
I know.
All right, sorry for the comment on.
And falsely confess.
So he's now grouped the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the leaders of the church into being part of the pedophile ring, part of supporting human trafficking, because their statement and the women's lawsuits and the criminal investigation, all of it has nothing to do with his actions or choices he made. And they are going to be accountable before God. And what's so telling is he wants to be there when they receive their vengeance, like in a revengeful, vengeful place.
Isn't that interesting?
I can't wait until I can see them suffer and be condemned by God. He wants them to be condemned by God. And he's so looking forward to that day. I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah. That just proves to me that some people are purely religious from their own ego driving the car. Like, you do not speak on behalf of like the Jesus Christ that you're supposedly worshiping if you cannot wait to see like your enemies and the people who've betrayed you and outed you, all the way up to the church that you believe in, that you can't wait to see them suffer because they've wronged you. Like, that's your highest religious goal. It's not to like love and serve and administer like Christ-like love across the world and into the eternities in your like mansion in heaven. Your number one like faction of Mormonism is dead set on vengeance for the church that you believe in. He's not healthy. He's not doing well.
Yeah,
to think that he can say these things and he's not going to be called out for them.
He's talking about how much he loves Elder Ballard, how much he loves the church, how faithful he is. He attends everyone, but I can't wait until the leaders of the church get condemned by God and thrown in hell. Like, which one is it? I mean, you kind of can't have it both ways. Your heart can't be in both places.
But. Right. And it was perfect how you pointed out that he is grouping that, like, it blows my mind that when people call me out for the things that I've done, that you're hurting kids. How do you not understand that you're hurting kids? Less kids are getting saved because my credibility is going down. And if that is true, if Tim Ballard is a fantastic person at rescuing kids, then just get your ass in gear and just save the kids, because it's your own self who's shooting yourself in the foot, and the condemnation would be on your shoulders for not being able to save more kids. It is not on the church, not on the women, for you not taking accountability for your immoral and malicious actions. So he wants to put every single thing on the shoulders of the women. And as we've pointed out over and over again, everywhere Tim goes, it is lies, it's fraud, it's exaggerations about what he's done to save kids. And it does not take any stretch of imagination to look at the evidence and believe the women that he is guilty of a lot of these things. It's going to go through trial. It's going to have, like, he's going to have his day in court. But up to this point, everything is still just a deflection of the condemnation of the church. None of it is on his shoulders. But if you're going to be such a great guy at saving kids, it's just unthinkable that, like, you could not have any remorse or a shred of self-reflection that maybe you're not the best at saving kids.
The question that I hope that someday he'll be able to honestly take a look at, and I don't mean this to be insulting to Tim, but I ask, where are your supporters? The church is run from Tim. His own organization, OER, has ran from him. Obviously, Deseret Books is no longer publishing his books. People that have worked very close with him have publicly come out and in opposition, Eric Mustos, Jimmy Rex, and I can think of probably a half a dozen or more people that I know personally that don't want their names in this saga that have worked directly for OER as directors, as high up, as board members. They're not running to Tim's aid to defend his honor and his reputation. And how many people need to jump off the bandwagon before he takes some self-reflection and say, all right, maybe I screwed up. Maybe I let my ego go unchecked for too long and I did something wrong. I see no room or not even a shred of remorse or regret or
admission, like giving up any leeway that things might, at this couple's ruse, might have not gone as swimmingly as he proposes that it's gone, that he might have not acted in complete moral integrity the entire time. He has no wiggle room to say that he's done any, all the way including the fact that there is his semen on Celeste's skirt, that should never happen in a child sex operation. So he can't even admit that at some point, yes, like something happened where I had to, like, you know, crank one out, that like he can't admit that he has ever expelled sexual fluids, even though there's DNA evidence of that. Like on every turn, he has no self-reflection and no admission of anything. He's stuck with his story this entire time as mountains of evidence have come out against it.
Yeah, no accountability. That's the word I was looking for. Elder Ballard has not issued a statement in support. Glenn Beck has not issued a statement of support of his reputation and character. And countless others. So if he has all these leaders that he's talked to personally that know the truth, where are their statements of his support? How about his bishop? How about the stake president? Where are his supporters?
Wait, play this.
There is an innocent man's face. That is an innocent man. If you've ever watched depositions or interrogations, when people talk like that, Tim, they are innocent.
Case closed.
Moved.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what an innocent man sounds like when they speak with conviction, because they have so much to lose and their entire reputation and fame built on something. And they speak very matter-of-factly, directly, sometimes slurring their words and with a lot of justifications for smearing the names of their victims. That's when you know they're innocent. The more slurring and smearing, the more innocent the person is. Because why would they say such horrible things if it wasn't true?
That's an innocent man right there. Innocent man. He screams at the family of Elder Ballard that he's like, I would never use his name for my own benefit. Who is he talking about in this entire video? Whose relationship is he exalting as his own personal special relationship? Who is he claiming that he has a relationship with that's probably more, that's closer than the man has with his own kids?
I think that's so interesting, so transparent. Like when people don't realize what they're saying, he just said, like, yeah, I have such a close relationship, actually probably closer than some of his own kids, but I would never take advantage of that very personal grandfatherly relationship. I would never use his name to tell you how close we were so that you can trust me more. But in saying that, do you trust me more? Like, you're saying the quiet part out loud, brah.
Yeah, the quiet part out loud. Your stream of consciousness out loud.
Yeah.
But it's not veiled. It's got to be more veiled. I don't know. He's convinced of it, though. So.
But they didn't come to me. They didn't come to me and say, hey, Tim, these women saying that you use the Ballard's name, and you never. So let me ask you this. If you're truly looking for truth, I've been an investigator for 20 years. Believe me, if you really want truth, you're going to at least go to the other side and give them a chance. But the truth didn't matter, Troy. The truth didn't matter.
So again, he's calling out the institution of the LDS Church as apparently not even coming to him before they issued this denouncement and the breakdown in the relationship. And he's saying that as an investigator for the last 20 years, he knows more about how to find truth than the Mormon church that he believes in and upholds as the one true church. He literally just stated, if you're really looking for truth, you would get my side of it. They didn't. The church is not after truth. And now they are harming kids, and more kids are set up to a sentence to a life of rape because of the way that the church denounced me. How does he not see how transparently egocentric that is, and that none of the dots actually align, that it all points to, no, it all actually, Occam's razor, you did do these things, you are guilty, and now you're just speaking out of this free fall that you're in, grasping at straws so desperately. Like, it's extremely transparent. Mm-hmm. He does not realize that he's saying all these quiet parts out loud. My ex-wife, now I drive the kids to swim practice drunk, and that's her fault. That's again, that's the error of Tim Ballard, is everything is everybody else's fault except for mine. I have never done anything wrong. I am the person who drives them to swim practice. How could I be the bad guy? How could I be the bad guy when I'm the one driving the kids to swim practice? Are you telling me that I'm doing a bad job driving them to swim practice? Oh, you think I'm doing it drunk? Well, how can I, but I'm doing a good thing while I'm drunk. Is that a problem for you? You don't want me to drive them to swim practice. I just want you to drive them drunk. So you don't want me to drive them to swim practice. That's basically his logic.
What mattered was PR. What mattered was avoid a headline that might say something negative about Elder Ballard. So let's destroy a family. Let's hurt a family. I can't tell you how badly it hurts. Of all the hurt, that statement is the thing that hurts the worst.
Dirty laundry.
I just am grateful. I have peace in my soul knowing that I did not do that. I just cannot believe. I can't believe decided whoever it was to go ahead and put out something that they knew that they didn't know. They might have suspected. Maybe the girls are telling the truth. But they knew they didn't know, because you can't know something that's not true. So they knew they didn't know, but they went for it anyway. And as a consequence, has put a family who has been faithful.
Okay, could you interpret? All right.
Quick interjection.
Yeah, interpret that for me.
Okay. So I just also wanted to add in some context here that Tim is talking about the church releasing a statement denouncing him for some kind of immoral actions. And he's like, even if they suspected, and like, you can't know something that wasn't true because I didn't do anything to these women. How dare they put out something that isn't true like that? Let's just add in a little bit of context that Glenn Beck, who to his credit, does have a lot to lose for propping him up, working with him on the Nazarene Fund, giving him millions of dollars to start OUR, platforming him on his show for so long, that Glenn Beck and The Blaze were one of the first people who the women reached out to. And there's that recording of the podcast that came out very early on last fall where Glenn Beck was like, I've seen the text messages from the women. They showed me, like, I've seen the evidence, and I think I believe the women. So Tim is not taking into context, this isn't just the LDS church who have seen evidence of your transgressions. This is your bestest other bud, Glenn Beck, who would have been fighting for you in your corner. But he was so convinced by the evidence of what the women allege that he took his entire platform, The Blaze, and started doing investigations on you to distance himself from you with evidence, mm-hmm. with so much to lose. The church is not going to go that far, but Glenn Beck being who he is and having that platform to do it, Glenn Beck and the Mormon church are just kind of two peas in the same pod. It's somebody who worked with Tim Ballard. The church is not going to go and expose this investigation and say that they saw the women and they're going to distance themselves. But Glenn Beck did. And so he's using the church as a placeholder here, but it could just as easily be swapped with Glenn Beck. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Glenn Beck's reputation is tied to Tim because he platformed Tim, and like everything you said, he has a lot to lose. It's embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for the Blaze TV. It's embarrassing and shameful for him, just like it is the Mormon church. And yet he did the same thing. He denounced Tim. He believed the women. The church obviously believed the women, or we don't know for sure, but they believed that something bad, very bad, went down, that they needed to cut him off. And then he's failing to also acknowledge that his own organization, OUR, that he founded, right, also cut him off. Like,
that there was an internal investigation, yeah, into the women's claims, to the point where his family, who are riding Tim's gravy train, that are on the board, who have everything to lose, people like Eric Mustos, who are former friends of his, people in his circle had to ditch him early on because they saw the text messages. There's an internal investigation. Everyone who had a vested interest in believing Tim had to look at the evidence of what the women presented with the text messages, with everything, a lot of things that are laid out in the lawsuit. And they believed the women. Tim is conveniently forgetting that, yeah, to say that they're saying they're posting statements of things that are not true that they know they don't know. Mm-hmm. What about Eric Mustos? What about Glenn Beck? You know, countless other people who said that they have seen the writing on the wall and they're jumping ship.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to admit that.
The only person who hasn't weighed in and denounced him, I guess, God? Is that what it would take for God to come down in person, an angel with a flaming sword telling him to stop?
To the church from day one and still faithful. I will never betray the church. Never denying my testimony of the Book of Mormon. I will never deny my testimony of Joseph Smith. You know, I will not do those things. I will not. I've had all these offers from these like evangelical churches. Like, dude, come, you come, you tell this story. You can start your own church. You can have a huge. But I'll never do that. This is the Church of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I'm not gonna do that. I know that He knows. I know work. I know the couple's ruse might sound weird to some people. It doesn't fit anywhere into the, you know, the white handbook that says how to keep the kingdom orderly. There's no section on how to rescue children from sex traffickers.
I want to explain
pray
something.
And study and here's my team. We've had to figure that out on our own. Yeah. I get it.
So he's saying that there's no church handbook on how to rescue sex trafficked kids. And I know that the couple's ruse and stuff might sound weird, but this is how we do it. So many things to deconstruct within that statement alone, mm-hmm. that every institution that actually does this has denounced Tim's tactics that say that couple's ruse is not a standard. All the way up to Matt Osborne of OUR and other people within OUR who still work there have admitted that the couple's ruse is not a good standard practice and we don't actually support it. So there's
they stopped doing it.
And Spear Fund, he's still doing it in his New North organization. But like,
we had to figure that out on our own. Yeah. I get it. People will just dismiss it. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to publicly say, I will never, ever. I don't care who. I don't care. There's not one person on this planet that if they came to me, unless it was God Himself, an angel or something, that says, "Sorry, we need you to lie to protect, you know, Elder Ballard's name from defamation."
So I just again want to say that his point there was like, this might sound weird to people. The couple's ruse, but there's no instructions from the scriptures or from the church on how to get these things done. And Ryan, do you think it's kind of telling that somebody who claims that, you know, this child sex trafficking is this like $1 gazillion-a-year industry, which I'm sure it is, you know, a real thing, of course,
it's a real problem
that it has to be addressed in the world. Mm-hmm. And that Tim, from the time that he's used Janet Resslin as his psychic for his main source of intelligence to find no one in Haiti, and his solution is always at the forefront. There's no answers in the scriptures for how to do this. So my team, we've prayed, we've read, like this came by revelation from God is a lot what he said about the couple's ruse on why he thinks it's going to work. That it's not like, well, the couple's ruse might sound weird because we've gone to the best agencies and this is a tactic that they use that has a lot of success. He is an isolated person who solely thought up the couple's ruse and implemented it with horrendous results. It's completely being condemned by every other reputable sex trafficking organization. But at the forefront, it's God gave this to me. This is what we've prayed about that we should do. And it would only be stopped if God told me to stop doing it or that I should like confess to something I didn't do. I think it's very telling, very transparent that his interpretations of what is being fed to him by God is all that really matters. And he will only change his tune if God's going to come to him. And God is his own brain. God is his own ego. And it's not going to come to him to tell him to confess. There's no possible way that the couple's ruse, with all the trauma that's been incurred under it, that it could possibly be anything except for just, you know, Tim's own ego and his own sexual deviance.
Yeah. And rewinding, Tim started in the Department of Homeland Security as a special agent combating child sex slavery and human trafficking. So I can confirm he did work for DHS. I've traded conversations and emails with his boss back in 2011. And I have a lot of documentation when we were starting to do a TV program called The Abolitionists while he was at DHS. He did work for DHS, and DHS has a white handbook, or at least has training guidelines and policies for how they were conducting saving kids. Multiple law enforcement agencies have been doing this for a long time. There is a training manual, a white handbook, whatever you want to call it. There are procedures for doing this. And he's fully aware of what those are because he worked for DHS. And so I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
which know is an interesting tie-in because that's our other obsession is with his American Covenant stuff mm-hmm. in the past. And all of the speeches that I've watched, I think you can attest because you've been there, you recorded them, you platformed mm-hmm. them, that when he needs to talk about what he's doing with OUR to Mormon audiences at like Book of Mormon evidence conferences and stuff, he starts it by talking about how America is this chosen land, this like second Jerusalem set apart, this special Zion, as the American continent, and that we needed to abolish slavery. That's why he called it Operation Underground Railroad, because he's like obsessed with the Civil War and Mormonism's supposed role in like freeing the slaves and stuff. And so he talks about endlessly when he's trying to connect the two for people that he said so matter-of-factly that he's like, when I got this job at Department of Homeland Security to fight sex trafficking or going into OUR, I'm like, where do I turn? What do I do? He just throws his hands up in the air and he's like, oh my gosh, I look to American history and how we freed the slaves. I look to the American continent. What is the American covenant? I look to the American covenant and the Book of Mormon of how, when we are in covenant with God to restore this nation to a righteous and prosperous land, the answers are within American history and they're within the Book of Mormon on how to save sex trafficked kids around the world. His manual, he holds it up. I have videos of him holding it up and saying, the manual for how to end sex trafficking holds up the scriptures, triple combination, Mormon scriptures, Bible, Book of Mormon. It's right here. It's in this. It's in the story of restoring the American covenant to the American continent. And that is what's horrifying to me at the amount of millions of dollars he's had at his disposal. And his main source of intelligence, a psychic, and then his main manual, he does not look to standard like procedures and protocols that have been established by industry experts. He goes to his kooky Mormon book written by Joseph Smith. That's what he goes to, is his religion. So again, it's very telling that the thing that hurts the most is the church breaking off the relationship with him and Elder Ballard bringing him down a peg, when that's all he wants is to be like seen as the most spiritual guy who's saving kids under the direction of God. So to be cut off from his church's leadership and that relationship, that's gotta hurt. Mm-hmm. Do all that make sense?
Yeah. He moved away from law enforcement, DHS, and really became obsessed with religious ideology, religious dogmas, and Old Testament doctrines. And sees his entire worldview through the lens of an Old Testament God, a vengeful, angry,
seriously,
Old Testament God, and that it's a very black and white world. And so that's problematic when you're running a nonprofit in the modern age. It can't be based on Old Testament doctrines and rules and the fear of a vengeful God. You know, those two things just don't mix in the modern age. I don't know how else to put it. So yeah, mm-hmm. makes sense.
And I did not do that thing, but I've never seen the section on how to infiltrate to rescue God's children who have been kidnapped and trafficked.
Well,
there's no section on that.
We have so, unconventional means all throughout the scriptures where God asked men to do things that were not the norm, like Nephi cutting Laban's head off. He asked Abraham right. to lie about his wife.
And while those and are problematic on already to begin with, they're not really good to be used for like the average church member alone, let alone somebody who thinks of themselves as a prophet and has this prophetic mantle and is called by God and has everything sanctioned by an apostle of God. Like, yeah, that's not a good thing to say. God has unconventional ways to achieve his, like the means to his ends through murdering people and having affairs, you know, with concubines. Like, none of that is good. Abrahamic tests, like, on their face, they're not good, but they're definitely not good for a person who thinks of themselves as a prophet.
Yeah.
With a second anointing ceremony, possibly. Like, with no consequences, that's not, you're not making the point you think you guys are making.
Yeah, your defense being, well, hey, Nephi, God asked Nephi to behead Laban in the Book of Mormon. So what I'm doing, hey, it's not beheading people, but it might be okay and sanctioned by God. Like, those are not the examples from the scriptures that you should be latching onto, because those things in the Old Testament, those Abrahamic tests, Abraham sacrificing Isaac on an altar, all of the strange things in the Old Testament and the scriptures have been used by multiple absolute genocidal maniacs to justify wars, to justify killing other people, to justify doing heinous crimes against humanity.
It's an extremist position. It's a fundamentalist position that I don't think has led to very many good fruits. Even if you believe that those prophets at like one time, an exception, you believe in those scriptures, and God had an exception for this one thing, you would have to admit that various religious figures, fanatics, cults have also pointed to unconventional means to carry out their actions as well, pointing to those. So this is not making the point that you think it's making, brothers.
Yeah. The Judeo-Christian scriptures are a set of stories, whether they're fables or history, besides the point, they're a set of stories that have generations have chosen to hand down from generation to generation to discuss the problems and the theology or the debate over what is moral. They're talking points. They're stories to guide us in a moral way. That's what they aspire to do, right? When you open it up to this, that, well, God could command anybody to do anything, like kill somebody, kill a whole nation, to do any lie, to do anything, you are obviously undermining the entire purpose of the scriptures. Because you're stating that, well, whatever the morality the scripture states, whatever was in the teachings of Jesus, that's irrelevant. If God inspires you to go behead somebody, then that's what you should do. And so it makes, this argument makes the entire purpose of passing this storybook down from generation to generation as a basis and foundation for morality in our society irrelevant. It makes it completely irrelevant, and it makes you the sole source of morality in your life and in the, for the people around you.
Right.
Do you see the
100%? And then just to add to that, I don't like when people use like a religious bully pulpit where they can speak outside both sides of their mouth. So when it's convenient, like in this interview, he says out of one side of his mouth, was, is that what Jesus would do? Would he condemn, you know, the adulterer and put that in the Jerusalem Times? So he's talking about the grace-filled Jesus. And then when he needs to do some unconventional means that could be seen as very heinous and not reputable, then he's able to point to, you know, the Old Testament, the law of Moses, God, the more like condemnation of God. He's able to prop up whatever version of God suits his means. And it's very, very obvious.
And that really is highlighted. If you read his books, he'll cherry pick little quotes and episodes from American history and weave it into a story that supports his worldview. And his worldview is there's a vengeful God over America, and he's grasping at statements and beliefs from history to construct this narrative. And all you need to do is know your history, know the scriptures, and you can see that plain as day that he's cherry picking these pieces of doctrine and information to construct a worldview that is actually opposite of what history states, what the Bible states, what Jesus would actually do, and things like that. So, but,
and evangelicals apparently have come to him and said, you should start your own church. That's not a very good thing. I would hope that more evangelicals could see through this guy who has completely built his entire platform around the Book of Mormon being tied in with American history. That not only, I don't think that's really going to happen, but let alone, do you really want that guy joining your evangelical movement who is so well known as at cherry picking and proof texting his opinions on what salvation means? What is it like a God honoring sacrifice for, you know, the betterment of the children around the world? It just shows that if there really are evangelicals or Catholics, like we've seen, that have come to him and said, hey, come join us. Like that probably means that they look like they want to get, They want to get something out of this type of profiteering, no pun intended, that Tim Ballard is so good at, and bring his following of uninformed, like, spiritual
extremism
into their branch of Christianity. That doesn't bode well for what your Christianity is, if that's what you are trying to do, trying to bring mm-hmm. Tim Ballard over. So anyway, this is an amazing segment so far, and I think we're absolutely roasting him.
I don't know. I take no joy in this, honestly. It's really sad. It's really sad to me, and I hoped I would have expected better. He's not the man that I became friends with.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and I've seen way too much charisma and something within this Tim Ballard character. He's gotten to a place where he's taken everyone out around him, filled him his circle with yes men and lackeys. Mm-hmm. And now this absolute power corrupts absolutely without any kind of checks and balances trying to get away this doing some heinous crimes to women and people that he's stabbed in the back.
Yeah, it seems a really good example of that. But I will say, and I'm not trying to give him a pass with this or not hold him accountable, but seeing how he got millions of dollars, a huge following, like best-selling books, endorsement from the church and Elder Ballard, all of these things, I can't put it past anybody that under those circumstances, it wouldn't go to their heads. I don't know even if I could see myself ending up in this video.
Totally.
Any of us are capable and so susceptible to this kind of ego aggrandizement under those circumstances. And so it's the circumstances that I now want to lay out and show how did he get where he's at and what is kind of the bigger picture and what were the conditions that created the Tim Ballard that we are now faced with and have to reconcile with today. Yeah, if you find this content and this analysis enlightening, entertaining, important at all, hopefully you do, then please support us on Patreon. We're trying to launch this and reach as many people as possible, produce as much content as possible, and really be an accurate, in-depth analysis, bringing you sources you can't get anywhere else. That takes a lot of time and effort, and your support really helps us make all that possible.
That will just cost a couple bucks a month. Thank you guys so much if you're on Patreon right now. But subscribing to this channel costs nothing. Liking it, sharing it costs you nothing. It helps out our channel a lot. Get it out to more people, as well as going on wherever you listen to your podcast to Timmy Did What, leaving us a review and a 5-star rating, and just donating at the donor box button below as we fundraise and try to keep this going and fundraise for the documentary that we have in the works right now. Be really helpful.
We have a ton of documentation that I'm really excited to share with you that really painted the picture of what Tim and Elder Ballard's relationship looked like, the role the church played from the very beginning, before OUR, all the way to the present day. And we can't wait to share those with you in the next podcast. So tune in for the next episode of
Timmy Did What? Is this evidence that you're going to show us? I can't wait. Show it to us now. You'll have to wait for the next episode.
Podcast.
Timmy Did What?
Podcast.